Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you so much that your word is living and active, that it meets us right where we are in life. Oftentimes, when we scramble for or long for answers to life's questions, we find that your word offers to us unwavering truth. And so we come to your word this morning and pray that you would use it to minister to our hearts. I pray that you would use your word by the power of your Holy Spirit to form and shape us. I pray that you would encourage hearts this morning, open our eyes, remind us of your goodness, not just intellectually, Lord, but I pray that we would feel it on a heart level. God, be gracious and kind to your people today. We pray these things in Jesus' name and by your Spirit. Amen. For a number of months now, I have been thinking about a series on lament. Now, maybe you hear that and you think to yourself, James, that's not incredibly uplifting. Why would you spend the next 4 or 5 weeks on a series on lament? Well, I've lived enough life now to know that not everything works the way that I want it to. Right? Have you had a similar experience? If I were to look past the 40-ish decades of my life, I would be able to point to things that have happened either to me or to those I know and love, and I would struggle with and wrestle with the question of why. Why did that happen? What was God doing in the midst of that? I don't understand. And I feel like oftentimes I'm not the only one. I mean, you've had this experience too, right? Where you experience heartache or grief, something happens to you or to those that you know and love, and you're not quite sure how to respond. You see, sometimes I think we ask the why question, why did this happen? And then other times we think to ourselves, well, how should I respond knowing that this happened? Knowing that I find myself here today, how does God want me to respond to this situation? I'm laughing right now. I'm recording this message in front of a camera with a little red light on it. You may have heard, some of you did, that a few weeks ago, I tried to record my message and it took me 4 tries. 4 tries. That's not an exaggeration. It took me 4 tries. I would tell you the story, but I'm still a little bitter. And so I won't fill you in on all the details. Well, today I came to the same place, see the background, and recorded my message and turned off my microphone and took my little memory card and plugged it into the computer, and sure enough, it didn't work. I can't make these things up. And so I put the little SD card back in the camera and I hit play and I found myself, which I was really excited about. I've never been so happy to see myself, except there was no sound, which is a problem, because if you just are watching me move my mouth for 30 minutes, but there are no words coming out, it would sort of defeat the purpose. And so I had 2 options. I could cry out to the Lord and say, why did this happen? And I know in part why. There was a cable that was supposed to be connected that wasn't. But then I thought, well, how should I respond? I mean, how should I respond? This is where I am. I can't control anything that just took place over the course of the last 35 minutes. What does God want me to do right now? I think that's a good question for us to ask when we experience heartache or grief, when our hearts are broken in life. Certainly, there are times when we wrestle with and ask why. But I think there's wisdom in us kind of pulling back and going, God, how do you want me to respond? And the beautiful thing about God's word is that it gives us a picture, I believe, of how the people of God respond to life in a fallen and broken world. God gives a song to the suffering. And that song is a song of lament. Do you know that in the book of Psalms, one third of all the Psalms are Psalms of lament? It's almost as if God was giving a songbook to the sufferer. Now, maybe you hear that word or you've heard that word and you think to yourself, what does that word mean? Well, if you were to look it up in the dictionary, you would find that to lament is to groan or to mourn aloud or to wail. I mean, there's this picture when you think of lamenting of someone pouring out their heart in grief. And certainly, lament is that. But I think biblical lament is something more. And I want us as the people of God not just to respond in an understandable way, but to respond in a biblical way, in a God-honoring way. In his book, Dark Clouds and Deep Mercy, author Mark Vrogop gives a framework for the sufferer. He says that oftentimes when you read Psalms of Lament in the Bible, you will read that there is this four-part process. And I say that, it's not always so clean, but there is a way that the people of God respond to God when they experience heartache. The first thing they do is they turn to God. They then complain to God. I know that word sounds a bit loaded. We'll talk about that next week. But then they ask God. There's something they're crying out to God for. But then there is this trusting in God. So when you think about lament in Scripture, you'll notice that there's this turning to God, complaining to God, asking God, and then having faith or trusting in God. You'll notice this framework in Psalm 77. And so if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Psalm 77. Psalm 77. Psalm 77, verse 1 says, I cry aloud to God, and he will hear me. Right? This verse reminds us that when our hearts are heavy, right, when we experience the weight of grief, we can go to God. We can turn to God, right? We go to God. Billy talked about this in part just a couple weeks ago when he was discussing what it's like to go to God with our prayers. Remember, he said, whatever is on your heart or mind, you can bring before the Lord. You don't have to clean it up. You don't have to make sure that you couch it in such a way that if someone heard what you were saying, they wouldn't go, well, what's wrong with him? Or what's going on with her? No, we can bring what's on our heart before the Lord. We can cry aloud to God. And I love that the psalmist reminds us we can cry to God and he hears me. But that's key, isn't it? To know when you're having a conversation with someone, when words are coming out of your mouth, that they're actually listening to you. They hear you. In fact, they want to hear from you. I laugh. A while back, we got our boys earbuds, I think for their Christmas or for birthday, and that's what they had asked for. And so we thought, hey, you know, who doesn't need a good pair of earbuds? We failed to realize, and when I say we, I mean me, failed to remember that they would wear their earbuds in the house. And so oftentimes I will be having a conversation or a dialogue. Well, I want it to be a dialogue. It's really one-sided, right? I'm saying words to them and they are not responding. I know what you're thinking. You're probably thinking, James, you do that for a living, right? You're talking into a camera in a room all by yourself. You should be used to this. Point, of course. However, oftentimes when I say something to them, I want them to respond. And so I'll say their name and say something to them, and there will be no response. And so I will raise the level of my voice some and say their name again, and I'll try to get their attention, and they'll look up, and they'll take their earbud out, and they'll go, Huh? This whole time I thought they were listening to me when they were really listening to Lecrae. I'm like, I'm trying to have a conversation with you. I want you to hear me. Do you know that God hears you? God hears you. God does not walk through the halls of heaven with his noise-canceling headphones on. Right? When you come before him, he hears you and he listens. That means when you are afraid, you can go to God. When you're anxious, you can go to God. When you are heartbroken, you can go to God. When you're confused and your heart is full of doubt, you can go to God. And he hears you. He's listening to you right now. Right? He hears every word that comes out of your mouth, every word that is hidden in your heart. God hears you. And so go to God and bring to him your struggles. Bring to him your pain. Bring to him your heartache and your disappointment and your brokenness. That's what the psalmist does. He says in verse 2 of Psalm 77, "In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is stretched out without wearying. My soul refuses to be comforted. When I remember God, I moan. When I meditate, my heart faints. You hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak." I think it goes without saying, but the psalmist here is not clean and tidy in his words. Right? This is not polished. This is honest and this is raw. Right? In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. At night, my hand is stretched out without wearying. It's this picture of the psalmist with outstretched arms crying to God. And when he says, when I remember God, I moan. When I meditate, my heart faints. You hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. It is as if the psalmist says, God, my heart is so broken. I experience such anguish that I don't have the words. I don't have the words, God. I don't even know what to say. Sometimes just admitting that can nourish and breathe life into your soul. It's so tempting for us when we experience pain or anguish or heartbreak in life to be silent. And it's not a good silence. It's not a reflective silence. It's not a being still silence. It's almost the sense of like, I'm just going to keep it to myself. I'm just going to hold it in. But the psalmist doesn't do that. He says, no, you can bring it to God and you can bring all of your cares and all of your worries. But know that these moments, these are times of anguish and heartache. Do you notice how the psalmist describes his coming to God? I moan, my spirit faints, I can't sleep, I'm so troubled, I'm speechless. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You've seen a son or daughter drift from the Lord. You've lost a son, a daughter, a mom, or a dad. You've experienced losing everything. You've seen the one that you committed to walk with for the rest of your life walk away, and you have experienced this. You've lived this out. There have been times in your life where you've gone to God and you moan and your spirit is faint and you can't sleep and your soul, like the core of your being, is troubled. I don't know if you've ever had a conversation or an argument or a fight when you walk away and you are emotionally exhausted. You are thinking, I've got nothing left. That's the psalmist. That's the picture. It is like a long-distance runner who crosses the finish line to a marathon with every last bit of energy that he or she has and then collapses. Right? My soul is faint. I'm so troubled. I'm speechless. This going to God with your troubles it's messy. You're not worried about having the right words or saying the right thing. You're just bringing it all before the Lord. You can go to God with your pain, with your struggles, and with your questions. You'll notice that in the Psalms of Lament that the author goes before the Lord with questions that maybe in some circles we would look at and go, I don't know if I'm allowed to ask that or not. Maybe I've thought that before, but I don't think I'm supposed to say that out loud. Because you read it and it's almost, you want to take cover a little bit. But the psalmist is open and honest about his questions before the Lord. He says in the second part of verse 6, then my spirit made a diligent search. Will the Lord spurn forever and never again be favorable? Has his steadfast love forever ceased? Are his promises at an end for all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his compassion? I mean, this author is going before the Lord and saying things that perhaps he knows the answer to if he were to take a theological test. Right? He would know the right answer to these questions, but it's almost as if there's a disconnect between what he knows in his head to be true and what he feels in his heart. These rhetorical questions that the author asks God are questions of wrestling with God. Right? Well, he's asking God, will you forget me forever? Have you stopped loving me? Will you not continue to make and keep your promises, God? Do you not remember how to be gracious? You ever feel that way before? Do you ever find yourself in a season of pain or suffering and go, God, it feels like you have forgotten me. It feels like I'm all alone. I sense that your favor is not toward me. God, will you not keep your promises? Will you cease loving me? Those questions are open and honest. Those questions are raw. And those questions can be handled by the God of the universe. They are not too big for him. You can bring God your pain and your heartache and your disappointment. And he can handle your questions. In fact, he can handle your questions more lovingly and more mercifully than anyone on the planet. So come before the Lord in your grief and in your pain. Go to God. Bring to him your struggles. Bring to him your questions. But don't stop there. Don't stop there. The psalmist doesn't stop there. The psalmist goes to God. He brings his struggles, his pain. He brings his questions. But then he remembers. Go to God and remembers. This is where we see the lament kind of transition from this raw and open crying out to God to this movement toward trust. This movement toward trust. And really, all of the lament is a movement toward trust because in some sense, we're believing that we can actually go before the Lord and share our hearts. We can actually say what's on our mind. We can bring before him our experiences. So I'm not suggesting that the first half of the lament isn't trust or isn't faith, but we see it fleshed out here. The psalmist says in verse 10, then I said, I will appeal to this, to the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. I love this. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. You and your arm redeemed your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph. When you are in pain and anguish, remember the faithfulness of your good and merciful God. Sometimes our present day pain and anguish can be a fog before us. It can blind us or cause us to fail to see or to remember God's goodness in times past. One of the things that's been so helpful for me as I've navigated through seasons of suffering and difficulty is that even when it seems like I have little hope for that particular day, I'm able to look back and remember God's graciousness and goodness throughout time, throughout history, and go, oh, that's right. Yeah, God showed up. God didn't forget his people. God gave them hope. God met with them. He heard from them. He spoke to them. And it is so life-giving to us when we can remember God's past faithfulness when we are experiencing present-day trials. The psalmist said, I remember, I ponder, I meditate. Do you feel hopeless today? Are you brokenhearted? Do you long for God to move and act in the midst of your pain? Remember the deeds of the Lord. Remember his wonders of old. Ponder all of his work and meditate on his mighty deeds. Remember God's faithfulness, and then remember how God has moved throughout the course of human history to bring salvation to his people. It's interesting, the psalmist here in Psalm 77 goes all the way back to the Exodus account in the Old Testament with Moses to remember how he brought the people through the parted sea to deliver them from Pharaoh. He goes all the way back to how God moved and acted in history past. Just listen to these words in verse 16. He says, when the waters saw you, O God, when the waters saw you, they were afraid. I love that picture. Indeed, the deep trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies gave forth thunder. Your arrows flashed on every side. The crash of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Your lightnings lighted up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was through the sea, your path through the great waters. Yet your footprints were unseen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Isn't it interesting what the psalmist does? I suspect his pain in that moment is real. It is raw. It's not light or trite. It's not trivial. It's weighty and it's significant. And yet in his crying out to God, he thinks all the way back to how God saved his chosen people through the waters of the Red Sea. He remembers and reminds himself, speaks to himself, how God used people in past history to do an amazing work to deliver God's people. God remembers his people. He split the sea to save them. And for you and me, we are on the other side of the cross. If you ever wonder if you are forgotten, if God has turned his back on you, if God does not care, then remember the cross. The cross reminds us that God sent his son, Jesus, fully God and fully man, to walk among us, to enter into our pain and suffering, to experience it firsthand, to be crucified on a cross, buried only to be risen, raised to life, offering life to you and to me. God cares deeply about our pain and suffering, so much so that Jesus entered into our pain and suffering to give to us his hope. Pain in this life, while weighty and significant, will not last forever. I know, like, in the moment, it may seem like eternity is the furthest thing from your mind. But God has offered you hope forever in the person of his son, Jesus. And so if you are experiencing heartache and pain today, you can go to God. You can bring to him your struggles, your broken heart, your trials, your questions. And remember his goodness. Remember how he has worked in the past to save you and me for all of eternity. I love the quote from a pastor, Charles Spurgeon, who said, "I have learned to kiss the wave that slams me into the rock of ages. I've learned to kiss the wave that slams me into the rock of ages." Oftentimes, God uses our broken hearts, our pain, and our suffering to bring us to Jesus. And in our pain and suffering, he meets us and he ministers to us by and through his Spirit. And so, Christ Point, I pray that God, through his Spirit, may minister to you today. In your pain, may you feel the freedom to sing the song of the sufferer. I pray that you and I would lament well, and we would experience the hope and the life that is ours because of Christ. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you so much that you have given a song to the sufferer. Thank you that your word, your book, is not oblivious to the pain that we experience here on this earth and in this life. We pray in the midst of pain that you would offer us the hope that only you can provide. God, I pray for those who are experiencing grief and heartache today that you would minister to them by the power of your Holy Spirit. God, thank you that you desire to hear from us, that we can bring to you everything that's on our hearts and in our minds. We can be open and honest with you, and you can handle it. You can handle our questions. You can meet us in our time of need and be gracious and kind in providing what we need the most. And so I pray that you would do that now for your name's sake. God, we love you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name and by your Spirit. Amen.